Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Wilson will start the time, throws, and it is intercepted! Intercepted, Kendall Fuller will seal the game for Washington and maybe the season for Seattle.
Grant and Danny on the Fan, taking you up to 6:45 on a Victory Tuesday. Washington gets a rare Monday night win, first one in 7 years. They had dropped 8 straight on Monday Night Football. We're presented today by Chenega Mios. Visit MIOScareers.com to view open positions and apply today. You just heard Steve Levy, ESPN's Monday Night Football call of the Fuller pick on the two-point conversion attempt. Did they do a Manning cast last night?
I have no idea. No idea.
Darius is saying they did not.
How come?
They don't do every single week. They take a couple weeks off here and there.
Oh, there you go.
So that's unfortunate that they decided Washington and Seattle was one of the games they were going to take off. How was the broadcast last night? What did we think?
I thought it was good, but again, I'm not as in tune as some people are. I'm just sort of focused on stats, taking notes. I didn't notice that Steve Levy called Kendall Fuller or Kyle Fuller. I didn't notice they called him Tyler Heinicke, apparently, which bothered somebody at some point. That's the kind of stuff I don't really realize. I kind of will, I noticed when color analysts are doing things kind of in between plays as I'm sort of charting and logging and thinking about stuff. So I come up with some of that. So I think Riddick and Greasy are good.
Chris is in Hyattsville.
Here we go.
To him on Grant and Danny. Hello, Chris. Long time no here. How are you, buddy?
All right. Let's try this one more time. Darius, if you don't mind.
There it is.
This is better.
Is Rafael Palmeiro
woo,
batting?
Woo! Woo! Woo!
What train is
Heinicke
this,
Chris? Hype train, baby.
There it is.
Oh, the Heinicke hype train.
Which is going all the way from D.C. to Los Angeles, February 22, to the Super Bowl, baby.
Where do we get our tickets at? How do I secure one of those?
All right, so this is it. All passage on the train is free. However, in order to get on, if you get have a T-shirt or a sign, you get coach class. If you're willing to pony up and get an authentic jersey, you upgrade to business class. And if you are willing to get the man, the myth, the legend, Taylor Heinicke's likeness tattooed on your forehead, I will let you drive the train through your preferred flyover state in the Midwest.
Wow, that's big. So I'm not going to do the tattoo just yet. So I'm not going to be
driving.
What if
that was your first tattoo?
My first tattoo was a Heinicke
on
my forehead.
Heinicke. It's a big gamble.
Well, then I'd get to drive this proverbial train that Chris is working in this hypothetical. All right, so we're not going to do that. I'm not going to buy a jersey. What was the next one down? Just a sign?
A homemade sign or a T-shirt you can get on.
No T-shirt for sure.
I can do a T-shirt.
I'll do a sign. It'll say.
So why don't you get little Bill Rowland to make you a sign?
Danny could do that, and I think he could make both of us a sign. Mine's gonna say, "You're fun to watch play football." I think I can give him that.
Oh,
that get me on
more
the train.
Than that. He's the reason why they've won 3 in a row. He's the reason why their season still has a pulse. He's the reason why they haven't collapsed on primetime television. You got to give it up for my man, T.H.
Okay? Played his butt off. 3 in a row now. Thank you, Chris.
Thanks, buddy.
That is an unprecedented moment where one of our P1s and callers goes direct, line to the producer behind our back to set up his own bit when he calls in.
That feels like we just crossed a barrier.
There's a few guys out there, like Matt and Stafford and Richmond John, who have their antennas up right now, like, oh, no. You can't.
Did we just start the precedent? Did that just happen?
It might have. I don't know. We'll see how this goes. Heinicke's been fantastic.
Yes, he has.
And we can get into it 525 next segment, like what's different and how he's doing this and how sustainable it is. But he is one of, I'm not going to say he's the reason that they've won three straight games. He's a big reason.
Huge
though.
Reason. It's no longer along with, it's no longer despite. He's absolutely pulling the rope. He's contributing. And it I don't know if the most important thing is this defense doing their job, because all of this great game planning and finding what works best for Heinicke, that doesn't matter if you're giving up 30 points a week. It just doesn't. It doesn't matter if you're the worst in the league on third down, which they were through 8 weeks. These last 3 weeks, that's a different team. That's a different defense. It starts there, and now you're playing complimentary football, and yeah. Heinicke can do that.
They've run the ball exceptionally well, and they've played defense. Number 4 in the NFL the last 3 games. There's a lot of things happening that have accounted for this. Heinicke is a big part of it. That's the question we ask. So let's hit that before we go hard to the phones. 800-636-1067. Who gets the most credit for the turnaround? Obviously, Chris, who just called in, the conductor of the Heinicke hype train, as he says, is going to go with the 4 car. Who are you giving? You get to pick one person the most credit for, or maybe it's one group or one thing for this renaissance.
Ron Rivera. And I know it's simple. I know it's elementary. But when you're in charge of everything, everybody basically, but one guy in this organization, that's the owner, looks to Ron Rivera for everything. Everything from the name to what they're eating in the cafeteria to who the general managers are, who the scouts are, the coaching staff. Ron Rivera handles everything. So when it's bad, blame is right there at his feet. And I've criticized him, and I think my criticism has been fair. When it goes well, that's the opposite of that. He deserves it. The self-scouting, the this is who we are, the figuring out of the identity, the coaches that report to him serve at his discretion. So this turnaround that Del Rio has authored, that I think Scott Turner's kind of found their offensive rhythm and identity, figuring out who you are and what you do well to maximize with this group, I think he deserves the lion's share of the credit for it. I really do.
Jack Del Rio gets a lot of credit from me.
He should.
The defense went from being bad to really good. Top 5 for basically a quarter of a football season coming up now is a huge deal. They're giving up about 270 yards per game over the last month. They haven't given up 300 yards. 300 yards in this league is almost nothing, right? They haven't given 300 yards up in 4 straight games. That's really hard to do.
It's unbelievable.
And it all started amid some injuries and some turmoil and Landon Collins changing positions and not loving it. Then you lose Montez Sweat to a broken jaw after a loss going into the bye week. Now you've lost Chase Young, and with Casey Tuhill and James Smith-Williams and Shaka Toney and various members of this defense having to step up, the results that they're garnering are not just adequate with what it was before without a fall off, despite missing some key pieces. They're improving.
Yeah.
I think Scott Turner, I mean, we could go around the whole circle of coaches here. Scott Turner has found an identity as a play caller. He's committed to something that's working. And that is that they are a, right now, physical, run-heavy, ultra-balanced offense. But it's all about time of possession. It always has been. I think that's why he's big on throwing the ball short. You know, last night, as an example, Antonio Gibson was targeted 7 times and caught 7 passes.
They ran some screen passes, by the way.
Yes, they did.
Last night, yeah.
But 7 throws to a back and 7 catches for that back is the same as handing it off in Scott Turner's mind. He said that on our show this offseason. So he basically viewed last night as 43 carries for Antonio Gibson. But, you know, I should say 36 carries for Antonio Gibson, 29 carries in the 7 catches. And I just think that he is stuck to something. Even when it hasn't been working, he's just decided, hell or high water, this is what we're going to be. We're not going to try to score 40. We're not going to try to throw the ball and be something we're not. We got to take more off Heinicke's plate. We can't give him, you know, the 40-plus passes that'll expose him. And if we lose 20-17, so be it, but we're doing it this way.
Yeah, and you can't stay with that if your defense is giving up, you know, nothing but long drives and touchdowns and points. And so they now work hand in hand at 100%. Yeah.
Let's go to Eric in Orange on Grant and Danny. Hey, Eric.
Eric, what's up?
Hello, Grant and Dave. How are you on the day after you beat the Seahawks and slayed that Monday night dragon day?
Die. Felt good to win on a Monday. Die.
So it's probably the offensive line, because how else would you be able to handle 39 rushes a game?
But can we talk about the blocked extra point? So it used to be if you got an interception on the two-point conversion and you ran it back to the house, that was a touchdown. I guess people cried about that and they changed the rule, so it's two. But now they give you 2 points if you return an extra point block. But if you block a field goal during the game and
that's
run it back for a touchdown, you get 6 points. You don't get three. So you have to change that rule. A touchdown can't be one or two. It's just they got to change that rule. Please,
so you're
you
saying it should be worth 1 point.
It's by the logic of on a 2 point conversion, you take it back to the house, you get 2 points.
Right.
Why is an extra point worth two and not one?
That's actually a good argument. I mean, it's a really smart call. So, like, his point is, if you're trying to kick a field goal and it's returned, that's an offensive play, defensive play, because they could fake it and go score 6 points, essentially. When you go in Madden to find field goal, like, it's still in the offensive section of the playbook, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
You return it at 6 points. He's saying if you know, two-point conversion gets picked off and returned, it's 2 points. Why would an extra point not be 1 point?
So if you line up to pretend to go for an extra point, and you fake it to go for two, can it then be returned for 2 points? Or is that a one-pointer because you lined up for an extra point?
You've punched a hole in this theory. I would say, it's a great follow-up. I'm flummoxed. I would say that would be worth two.
If you put foot to ball.
Whatever you're attempting, basically, is the amount of points they can get.
Yep.
Although they're not getting three for a field goal attempt.
I know. That's the part I can't get around. So to me, if it's point after related, right now it's all 2 points. And he's saying have a standard where it's one for one, two for two. If it's a pick six, quote unquote, in a two-point conversion attempt, that's worth two.
Let's go to Vaughn in Alexandria on Grant and Danny.
Hey, Vaughn,
three in a row for Washington. Danny. They're 5-6 of the 7 seed right now.
Grant, my man, step aside to the second. I got some words for Mr. Danny here.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
So, Danny, remember a few weeks back, and we were talking about the quarterback situation and how awful a job that Rivera was doing with bringing in talent. Now we look at this team, and I'm glad you walked your statement back a little bit a couple of seconds ago. Those same thoughts we had a few weeks ago, we now have to give them credit for 100%. Playing with who we're playing with.
Mm-hmm.
We're playing with fourth-string center. We're playing with nothing from Fitzpatrick, nothing from Samuel. We're playing with 2 seventh-round draft picks. This is the identity. A few weeks ago when we were dogging this man, this is the same reason why we're winning right now. He built this team, and we kept saying he's not bringing in talent. Look at the roster. Look at the roster now. He's winning with his identity. This is what he was saying the whole time, and we poo-pooed that idea. So I want somebody to give, like, and you guys just did, so give you guys credit.
Yeah.
Give Rivera the credit for what he's done with this roster. You see depth all throughout this roster. We're winning with toughness. We're winning with identity, with running game, and we can win with this version of Heineke. So I go back, and we don't have to have this conversation now about the quarterback situation, but this was his idea of how we can win in the short term when we didn't have any options at quarterback. This is what he was saying the whole time. So I think a large part of this goes to Scott Turner, Rivera, defense coordinator Jack, and all those guys because they stuck with it, and now you're saying what he was talking about the whole time.
Yeah, I think it's a good call. So to me, this is why Ron Rivera, the coach, very much thumbs up. He gets guys to buy in. He gets guys to pull the rope in the same direction. I still have questions about Ron Rivera, the executive. I'd rather he be better at acquiring talent and bringing in people and having better plans. But once the guys are in the room, Ron Rivera can coach them up. We're seeing that happen. We saw it happen last year. I don't think that's in doubt.
Yeah, I think even at our most upset with this entire operation, I'll just speak for myself, I was never necessarily worried about Rivera as a head coach. And I will say the job he's doing right now, way more impressive to me than the job they did last year. He dealt with some unbelievably difficult things in his personal life, dealing with cancer and those things. I'm not talking about that. But if you go back to last year,
mm-hmm.
you don't need to beat this drum again. But they're winning neutral site games against Nick Mullins in San Francisco. They're beating the Steelers when the Steelers have short rest because of COVID. They're topping, you know, the Eagles game, the last game of the season, week 17. They were going to lose to the Eagles and Jalen Hurts, and then the Eagles benched Jalen Hurts to go to Nate Sudfeld. And so I don't say any of that to dismiss what happened as much as to say I thought the record they had last year was almost exactly what their record should have been. Like, I didn't think he got more, quote-unquote, out of that team than there was necessarily. Mm-hmm. I thought there was a little bit too much hype for what they'd accomplished because a lot of things just broke well for them.
Mm-hmm.
Dallas was a disaster without Dak, and they played two backups against Dallas, and Philly didn't want to win one of those games, what have you. This has been an unbelievably impressive turnaround. This has been a much, in my opinion, more impressive coaching job. Now, I also think if we want to pull back just a little bit and look from the helicopter view, we should all settle down some because it's 5-6. Mm-hmm. There's six games to go. If they go 2-4 in those games, they win 7 this year, and they lose some critical games as that's probably about where they should have been if you go back to the preseason predictions. In this moment right now, though, if we're talking about the job he's done since the bye,
yep,
thoroughly impressive. Can you pick nits if you want? Yeah, last night was bad Seattle. So they survived bad Seattle. Give them some credit. They did a lot of things well. The Seahawks stunk. The Panthers don't have a quarterback. They benched Cam Newton this week. He went 5 of 20 passing.
Mm-hmm.
He looked better when Washington played him. But, again, some things are going their way here. But give Rivera the credit. As a coach, the reason you originally wanted him to be hired,
yes,
you were calling for hiring him, is that he does have kind of an identity that he can create, which is, you don't want to play the Panthers. They're going to beat your butt. They're going to be physical. They may lose the game, but you're going to feel it.
You'll
Tuesday
be sore
and Wednesday.
On Monday, yeah.
You're starting to see that come together, and I'm excited about that.
Same.
That does not change how I feel about some of the offseason stuff that happened and some of the player acquisition things that have taken place. But he's done an absolutely great job, and all you can do is say kudos. Keep it going. Let's see where this thing goes. 800-636-1067 is the number. We can pivot to Heinicke next if you want, Danny. Three straight, very solid games. This is the longest stretch he's had without a regression. Rivera on the Junkies today was talking as if there's a corner that's kind of been turned, that he just needed the reps week in and week out as a first-teamer and that he's a better player than he was early this season, which very well may be the case. Get into that next on The Fan.
Tom Brady, Cam Newton, and now Russell Wilson. You told me that you believe that you still have to prove that you belong in this league. When will it be proof enough, Taylor?
I don't know. I'm not really focused on that. Just want to take it week by week, and we got a hard one against Vegas next week, so we'll be ready for it.
That was Lisa Salters on Monday Night Football last night with Taylor Heinicke. He's proven it, like, right? There's nothing else to prove in terms of the question was belonging in the league. He's an NFL quarterback. He'll be in the league for many, many years to come. That part, check that box. I'd sign the guy as a long-term backup, sight unseen, right now. Send over the contract. I'll fax it to your agent. You put pen to paper.
What are you putting in front of him right now this minute today? 3 years, 4 years, voidable fourth.
Yeah, you could do like a four-year.
$25 million?
I would pay more than that. $32 million, something like that.
A little 4 for $32 million?
No, I don't know if he'd sign it or not, but he's under contract for next year, and right now you're starting. I don't know if you will be next year or not. I mean, he'd have to bet on himself and say, I'll be starting next year. I'll still be really sought after. I'll be playing well, and then you're going to have to pay me starter money, which is $20 million a year. I'm offering you $8 million to be my potential answer. Now, maybe his agent says you don't have a starter. He's probably going to end up starting for you at the beginning of next year. We can't take that. Maybe you settle on $9 million or something like that. But yeah, play him $9 million as a backup quarterback for a couple of years, that's great. The beauty of Heinicke, regardless of what you think of him long-term as a starter, is that he doesn't make anything. So they may just feel like there's no reason to extend him or do anything. Let's just keep him on the cheap next year. Because if he's our starter at $1.5 or $2 million or whatever he's going to make next season when he gets his raise,
mm-hmm,
that's a huge win. The issue teams like Seattle has, Russell Wilson right now is the biggest cap number in the NFL. $32 million against their cap. You saw that team last night. They are limited
as far as
their talent.
As soon as you don't draft well, which happens, it's the NFL. It's a coin toss at best, right? When you have that kind of premium, that superstar quarterback, and by the way, I covet this. I want this problem. I want this situation. It's what I've hunted for forever because it gives you a chance on an annual basis. We're kicking dirt on their grave, but for 10 years, it was the Patriots 1 and the Seahawks 2 pretty much. Over the last decade of being really, really good consistently in terms of number of wins, playoff appearances, deep runs, etc. But as soon as you're standing on the edge of a knife, if you don't draft well, if you don't hit on a couple first-rounders, or you spend on Jamal Adams and he's not incredible, whatever it is, this can blow up. It can be really, really bad. But I still want that problem. I still want that franchise superstar quarterback, and it's a fun debate now because Heineke's making it complicated.
I hope he keeps making it complicated. I hope that he makes it more and more difficult, and he strings these together, stack them on top of one another. Next up is Las Vegas. Max Crosby's a problem, by the way. He's on a pace as a defensive end to potentially break the record for pressures, according to Pro Football Focus, this year in a season. Sack numbers are not Myles Garrett's. They're not going to be top of the league, but he gets into the vicinity of the quarterback at times 8, 10, 12 times in a game. Absolutely astounding the season he's having. They got a couple of guys that are going to give you some fits. You can move the ball on them. Teams have throughout the season, though. Then you got Dallas, a defense that has fallen outside of the top 20, almost out of the top 25 in yards per play right now. Just keep stacking your chips. If you're Heineke, and as he told Lisa Salters, we'll look up at the end of this thing and see where we're at and see what Ron Rivera thinks. Let's go to Ned in Vienna on Grant and Danny. Hey, Ned, how are you?
Hey, gentlemen. Good to talk to you. I want to give a little compliment to both of you guys for some past accomplishments. Grant, I really enjoyed your work. I was, skimming the dials, and I heard your MLB work, I guess on the MLB Network, and it was stellar.
Oh, cool. Thank you very much, Ned. That's nice of you.
And, of course, my bulldog, Danny, belated congratulations, GW Hall of Fame.
Hey, thanks, man.
There's a Hall of Famer.
There goes all... But not so fast, then, if I may. I'm gonna smack the tennis ball right back on the other side and return the serve. I'm sitting across from a Hall of Famer. Grant was a Hall of Famer first.
This is your time.
You guys are the best.
Oh, man. You're sweet. Thank you,
buddy.
So, on the last segment, I was going to say Taylor Heineke as my guy, but football's a team sport, so I agree with everything he said. It's Scott Turner. It's Jack Del Rio. It's Taylor Heineke. But really... Unfortunately, it's Ryan Fitzpatrick, because if he doesn't get hurt, we don't get to see – Taylor doesn't get the shot that he got.
Interesting.
As soon as he muffs up against Green Bay or screws up, everybody's calling for him to be benched. So,
thank you, Ned. Two
appreciate
things.
You, Ned.
One, he missed a great opportunity to troll, like right after he said all that nice stuff. And then just to troll us real hard.
Something awful.
Us. I thought that would have been hilarious. And I thought that was coming as a bit. So you missed a golden opportunity. But the bigger thing is, I haven't really thought about the Fitz injury, but not that he's like the most important player to the turnaround or anything like that. Not to be facetious. But what I mean is, if he hadn't got hurt and he was starting all year, I don't know what their record would be. They'd be 6-5 or 5-6, whatever. Who cares? Mm-hmm. Because we've seen so much Heineke, though. It's actually been a great benefit to this organization. They know way more about him, the amount of information they've got, comparative to if he got 2, 3, 4 starts at the end of the year or something like that, then they go into the offseason having no idea. Not to mention, it seems like he needed to go through some growing pains. It seemed like he needed to play through some things that maybe he's
be allowed to slump, yeah.
And we'll see. And Rivera said that. And Rivera, to his credit, has been right. I mean, I was saying... Leash should be short. I'm looking at Kyle Allen. He starts out slow this week. I'm going to Kyle Allen. In fact, the Bucs game, out of the bye, I would have started Kyle Allen. That was the beginning of kind of the turnaround for Heineke, and we'll see if he keeps it up. But we were kind of second-guessing, joning, whatever you want to say, Rivera giving this street free agent, signed off of sleeping on his sister's couch.
Undying loyalty.
Just so much loyalty. It was as if he was making $30 million a year. You drafted him 1-1. And we're going, why is he so sure? Well, to his credit, the guy has made him look good.
And here's what boggled my mind about it, to relate it back to Fitzpatrick. If you give this guy so much loyalty, then why was Fitzpatrick handed the starting gig with no competition at any point in time? Right? If you thought that much of Heineke, where he gets all this loyalty... What was our plan? Why did we do that? If you're treating him as, not to be disrespectful, but as more disposable, more as a, this is what he is. He's a street free agent that can sort of come by and play in a pinch. why was he getting that loyalty? It didn't jive. It didn't make sense to me. But I think over these last weeks and months, he's really shown this guy, Rivera and company, something. I think he's won them over.
27 of 35 last night, only 8 incompletions. Third in completion percentage of the last 3 games. They didn't really take shots last night. They took the one deep throw to McLaurin. Do you remember any other deep balls last night other than McLaurin, the one you asked him about?
I would count that Logan Thomas seam route as deeper. I mean, that was, you know, 20 yards in the air probably.
I'm not remembering that.
The interception.
Oh, that play.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. That's, I mean,
it's not a deep shot, but that's down the
field. According to, like, next-gen stats and all that stuff, 20 yards is deep. I would say that was probably 20 yards.
Yeah.
And that was one he shouldn't have thrown.
Agreed.
I mean, it's funny. Here we are saying, yeah, maybe take a shot or two more. But that one was a little ill-advised. I just thought there were too many defenders around. It had to be a perfect pinpoint throw, and it almost was. I mean, it actually got in there. It was just tipped narrowly. Mm-hmm. The other part of it was you had a defender ready to blow him up, and you never know what happens. The ball pops up. So I'm sure he wants that one back. But one pick in 3 games, I'll take that every three games for the rest of any quarterback's career. Let's go to Deacon in La Plata on Grant and Danny. Hey, Deacon, thank you for the call.
Hi, Grant and Danny. Thank you.
What's up, buddy?
Hey, I called to talk about the division process at the end of the season, 5 games. But I wanted to back up to what Danny just said about why did they ever bring Fitz in. And the reason was is because both the other quarterbacks seemed to be injury prone, and they needed a first place or backup first place, if you will, to make sure that they had 3 guys in there that could fit the bill if they needed to.
Well, so it's not necessarily just bringing Fitzpatrick in. That's not the craziest thing to do in the world, to your point. What I never understood was Ron Rivera told us specifically, not having a competition at quarterback was my greatest regret. So let me go ahead and not have one at quarterback the very next chance he had to have a quarterback competition. He handed the job to Fitzpatrick. All the first team reps went there. Would we be better off with Taylor Heinicke? Got some of those too? Would he be further along in his development? I don't know. That's the part that's more puzzling to me. That's all. I just want to offer that distinction. Go ahead.
Man, remind me not to play chess with you. That was great. Great response.
Thanks.
The reason I had originally called it was because I'm glad they're experimenting with the division and the, you know, within the same division at the end of the year. I like experimentation, but I don't think it'll benefit some teams because this is a game where you really can get plowed under and some of your best players who touch the ball the most may be out for 3 weeks, 4 weeks, even the 5 weeks. And the team that has that deficiency is not going to do well when they might have been able to hold their own if they weren't scheduled back to back to back and had some players have time to recover.
The only good thing, thanks for the
appreciate
call,
you,
about Washington starting to have some of these injuries pile up, it seems like it's happening to everybody. And I'm not celebrating any injuries, trust me. I want everybody to play 17 games and let's see who the best team is.
But it's inevitable, right?
Dallas is in a way worse spot right now going into Thursday Night Football. Like, they don't have coaches. They don't have Amari Cooper.
No Cooper again.
Are they going to have CeeDee Lamb, do we know?
I haven't seen.
Is it possible he doesn't play? He didn't play this past week. He hasn't played their last 6 quarters. He was out for the second half of, you know, 2 games ago. They're lost. So those are important pieces for them. Dak Prescott's throwing like his 4th and 5th wide receiver. Ezekiel Elliott is playing.
He's banged up.
Is like a C-minus D version of himself. And so that's going on all over the division. I just watched the Giants like everyone else did on Monday Night Football, and they're without Kadarius Toney, who's their wide receiver too. I think Darius Slayton played, but Sterling Shepard didn't. I mean,
they stay banged up.
2 of their top 4 pass catchers. And so, you know, Daniel Jones is out there like throwing to slowed Saquon Barkley, who's, again, like getting helped off the field. I think it's happening all over the league right now. I'm not sure if it's the longer season or what, but we're going to see at the end of the year just who's got the most guys standing. I mean, that's going to be a big part of this too, honestly.
100%, man.
Luckily Attrition's for Washington, thing. Knock on wood, I mean, some of the players that are going to have to carry them are able to post and will be making that trip out to Vegas on Friday or Saturday when they get in the air. What do you make of Heinicke's performance yesterday? It's one of the things we're going through, 800-636-1067. And then also offensively, this new identity. You think they can keep this up? Has this been situational? Have they benefited maybe from some matchups? Or is this something they can keep doing? This ground and pound, physical, kind of dominant run game. They ran for 152 yards to Seattle's 34 last night on a Victory Tuesday presented by Chenega Myos. Visit MIOScareers.com to view open positions and apply today. We're Grant and Danny on The Fan. caught a touchdown, 5 grabs, 26 yards, rushed for a touchdown, 7 attempts for 30 yards. Football team was down 7-3 after Seattle's only touchdown drive of the night before the final moments. That 6-yard pass to Gerald Everett, which, by the way, that was a nasty little dime from Russell Wilson. He did not have a good night. I don't think anyone needs me to say that. But the pass to Everett was in a barely existent window.
That was great coverage. That was great coverage.
Cole Holcomb, right?
Yeah, it was Cole Holcomb. Was right there. There was not a window for that ball to be thrown. And Russell Wilson put it in the one spot, and it was absolutely perfect. You couldn't have paused time like Zach Morris in Saved by the Bell and walked it to a better spot. You just go, that other guy gets paid to play too. I always used to say this. You put a hand in Kobe Bryant's face, sometimes he's going to score 80.
Yep.
You know, that is a Hall of Fame quarterback doing work.
Have we given the defensive front, everyone involved, from the defensive tackles and ends to the linebackers to Holcomb and Jamin Davis, all take a bow? Landon Collins especially. 10 rushes, 14. No, let me recalibrate here. 10 rushes, 18 yards for the running backs last night for Seattle. Alex Collins and DJ Dallas combined. 10 attempts for 18 yards. Wilson scrambled twice for 16. But less than 2 yards per carry.
Unreal.
For the running backs. They did such a good job that Seattle just had to stop doing it because they couldn't even get past the line of scrimmage.
And they hate stopping, by the way. They love running. They love running. No matter how bad their running back is, what guy they're on, they love running on first down.
They called 33 pass plays and 10 running plays last night. By the way, think about that.
Uh-huh.
There's sub-45 offensive plays for the game for the Seahawks. That's kind of been their whole year, man. They can't convert third downs. 4-for-12 is one of their best games they've had on third down.
Did that actually increase their percentage?
It did, considerably. And they can't get off the field on defense. But other than that, like, they're really good at possessing the football. Harold in D.C., you're on Grant and Danny. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, fellas. Can you guys put on your NFL analyst or whatever hat it is, man? Can somebody explain to me what a defenseless receiver is? Because when Logan Paulson got hit, the defender launched himself. He hit him high. He hit him in the helmet. And yet it ends up as an interception and no flag.
Good call. Thank you.
Thank you, buddy.
Did you think that was a bad hit? I thought that was clean.
I thought it was okay, too.
Now, I will say I almost always side, regardless of what team we're talking about, with the, this is a really fast game, it's violent.
Yeah, the what's a defender supposed to do
right.
theory.
Let's let defensive backs play football, please. But I thought that was pretty clean. The Logan Thomas penalty, or wasn't a penalty, but the Logan Thomas play that I have a bigger issue with as far as officiating was the touchdown at the goal line that would have ended the game. And we're sitting here upset because they only scored 17 points last night. It would have been 20 if they had a kicker, but it would have been 23, maybe 25, had they have been able to keep the touchdown on the board that Heinicke threw to Logan Thomas on fourth down and goal from, I think, 3 yards away. If you ruled it incomplete originally, keep it incomplete, but by ruling it a catch, you can't overturn that. There's nothing conclusive about that video saying you didn't catch it. That was my issue.
So to the defenseless receiver point, this is one of those things that they always work back from results, which I hate, because as you said correctly, everything is so fast. Everything happens so quickly that when a receiver ducks his head or, you know, crunches up, because if you're about to get hit in the midsection, just in life, you crinkle down, you sort of fold up. Well, that lowers your head position. So all of a sudden, what would be a normal clean hit to the sternum is now a terrible helmet-on-helmet hit, and we think of a player as dirty or whatever. So I always give so much benefit of the doubt to the defensive player on those kinds of things, but the league doesn't by and large. So because Logan Thomas didn't go down in a heap and didn't, like, you know, have to be helped off the field, it never was an idea that it was going to be a defenseless receiver. But that play, specifically, you've seen that get called before an awful lot. So it is inconsistent, and they always work back, in my opinion, from a result. The same way the NHL, Department of Player Safety does. If a dirty hit happens and a guy skates off the ice, it tends to be just fine. But A, if Tom Wilson sneezes or was in the building, he's suspended for 20 games. But for everybody else, they work back for if the guy gets hurt or not, which I think is garbage.
I guess I just would prefer fewer of those called than more.
Same here.
And I probably am in the minority. I don't know how the majority of our listeners would feel about that, because I do know that there's nothing worse than watching a game and seeing a receiver get hit in the helmet to his face mask and laying there on the field, eventually carted off, and you're just hoping the guy's going to be okay. Nobody wants that. I'm not advocating or hoping for that brand of football. But I just think DBs are at a point where I don't know how they play their position.
I know what they're supposed to do.
I don't know how they're supposed to get through the game. 6 o'clock coming up at the top of the hour. What are we forgetting? 800-636-1067 is the number. You got to tell us not to forget about what. And you'll hear Terry McLaurin at 625 on GND. Thank you, Heisty, for getting us up to date. Welcome back. We're Grant and Danny. You are locked into 106.7 The Fan, and you can take us with you wherever you go on the Odyssey app. Used to be called radio.com. Download the app. Listen to 106.7 The Fan, all the sports, news, music, and podcasts that move you. Remember, tomorrow on the show, John Carlson for his weekly Wednesday appointment. Caps play tonight, so that'll be good to have him on the show. And also, on a Wednesday, G&D, we got to do Washington Football Team Survivor. Normally, it's on a Tuesday. We're going to have to move it because everything's a day later this week in our normal lineup with the good guys winning a Monday Night Football game.
I didn't really have the today's a Tuesday vibe today.
It does feel very Monday-y.
Yeah, it's Monday-ish, Monday-esque. But all of a sudden, I'm now like halfway through the week.
Victory Tuesday presented by Chenega Mios. Visit MIOScareers.com. View open positions and apply today. What about today for you feels most Monday? Like, as you're sitting here now, back of your mind, you're going, huh, it's Monday night, I got to get home. You're thinking about Monday Night Football coming on tonight, probably, right? Like, how do you know? How do you know it's Monday in your mind?
The football team that I care about,
yep.
We're talking, it's from Washington.
Mm-hmm.
They played yesterday. I saw it. They played yesterday. That means it was Sunday. For my body clock, for my internal,
whatever.
I'm putting it at the back of my head, just like I'm sure everybody can see me do that. Back there, where's sort of the rhythms, where I'm like, I sleep a certain time, I wake up a certain time, I need coffee at a certain time, I gotta go potty, whatever. See, they played yesterday, so today's must be Monday. And I've been sort of feeling that. I know the truth that today's Tuesday, I know, but it feels like Monday.
I think we're gonna be suffering from that throughout the week.
And I'm fine with it.
By the way, your boy is going out to Vegas. I've made the decision. I did it a couple weeks ago, but
you go on Thursday?
It is happening. So I'm flying out Thursday. I wanted to fly Friday because, frankly, being in Vegas Thursday, Friday, Saturday, that's a long time in Vegas.
That's 6 years, real time.
That's a lot. And I'm old and not that interested in most Vegas-y things. I'll probably go see like Penn and Teller. You know what I mean? I'll do it like 62-year-old guys do in Vegas. I'm actually, shtick aside, I'm going to probably go to sports books all day long, and go to Topgolf two times. That's probably the extent of my trip.
You ever find one of those comfortable chairs where they hand out blackjack cards? You play some hands?
I'm not a blackjack guy. I understand how it works.
Yeah.
The pace of the...
It goes fast.
The table, I've never been able to
keep up.
Be comfortable. Here's the thing. The only time I've ever had a blast playing blackjack was a buddy's bachelor party. And we went, it was actually just MGM National Harbor here. And we went to a game, we went out, we were hanging out, and then we went over to MGM. And we, all of us were at the table. It was just my friends. Mm-hmm. And there were enough of us that we took up the whole table.
It's so perfect.
With that, it was incredible.
Yeah.
And I was in, and I kind of locked in, and I understood.
I think that's the most fun a human being can have.
I'm telling you.
Nothing but buddies at a blackjack table. Everybody's playing the right way. We're
totally
all in it together, and everybody wins except for one guy, and he's the joke for everybody else.
I'm not even joking. Top five experience.
Same.
Like, with friends in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Just sitting over in Maryland, in Fort Washington or whatever that is, at MGM National Harbor. We played for a few hours. We were like this weird room where there was no one else around. It was not that busy. There was a DJ in the room and everything. It was awesome. But I say that only to bring up that I am so uncomfortable in a setting with strangers because I don't know what I don't know, and they're mad at me. And anything where I am... just ill-equipped, there is such a discomfort for me that I will not participate. So, like,
will go to Starbucks, for example.
I won't go to Starbucks. I don't know the terminology.
Mm-hmm.
I needed to take one more Spanish class to graduate. The feeling of a teacher looking at me and saying something in Spanish and me not being able to respond and just sitting there and wearing that class after class after class was so humiliating.
Yeah.
Thinking about it, I'm getting anxiety. Uh-huh. Thinking about it, I'm getting that feeling in the pit of my stomach.
Uh-huh.
The feeling of just being an idiot. I get that at the blackjack table.
I hate that
feeling. I get that in Spanish class. I get that when someone's trying to ask me about pipes. I don't know how to fix a leaky faucet.
You don't know how sprinkler systems work.
I don't. I can't
from
fix
your cushy press box.
If my toilet is running, I can't fix it.
I ask my wife what to do.
I can't tell you what happened at FedEx last night. I'm sorry. I just don't know. But when I am the idiot, it's just so uncomfortable for me.
Would you like, it's so condescending, but would you like me to do, I wouldn't do it on air because that would bother everybody. We could do a little blackjack primer.
I would love it.
I'm happy to do that. Because I know it's so condescending. I'm like, dude, I'll teach you how to play.
So here's
that's so obnoxious.
Mind,
yeah.
Because based on what I just said, the next thing I'm going to say makes no sense.
All right.
I kind of like playing craps.
So that, to me, is what you're talking about, but in reverse.
Exactly.
So like, here's what craps is.
Everyone always gets mad, but I understand it a little better.
Yeah.
Or not even understand
it. Well, it's because it's not complicated.
I've played it more. There's not a whole lot of pace to the game. So if I'm in Vegas, that's been my go-to. Now, the problem is, I'm a 65-year-old guy in Vegas. So I set myself an amount. So let's just say it's $200 to gamble with.
Mm-hmm.
When that $200 is gone, you're done. Doesn't matter how long you're in Vegas.
Yep.
You're done.
I do the same thing.
I lost my $300 46 minutes after I got to the hotel.
Yep.
In craps. Like the last time I was in Vegas.
Yeah.
And I have multiple stories like that. So that's the problem with that game.
Well,
whereas I feel like blackjack, maybe I get a little more burn on the flame.
It can go quick if you get a bad run, which happens, you know, in gambling, no matter what you're doing. But for the most part, you can sort of tread water a little bit better, I think, in blackjack at a minimum table, a minimum bet. Here's what happens with craps. I don't like it. I don't really play. Your group, your buddies, are all of a sudden over there. And they're like, yeah! 2 seconds later, yeah!
Right.
5 seconds later, yeah! And then it's like, come on in. We're beating Vegas. We're doing it, you guys. We're the ones that are going to get the better of them.
We're
and then you run
them
and you're
for
like,
all they're worth.
And they're like, you want to put $50 on the come line? And I'm like, totally. I'll do that. And then my money's gone.
Yep.
In two rolls. Because somebody rolled a five, but they'd rolled a seven before they rolled a five. So now their five is bad, but
what
it was bad good before.
What you described is quite literally what happened to me.
Yeah, that's craps.
I was up. I mean, it's nothing. Like, the gamblers that actually spend money will laugh at all this. But I was up. I felt, you know, like $150 or whatever.
It's the greatest $150 you've ever had.
It felt like I'd made 60 grand. Like,
yeah,
I wanted to call
perfume.
My wife and my parents and be like, we're going out to dinner. And 3 minutes later,
gone.
There goes my $200 for the
vapor.
Trip.
Yep.
It's over. So the rest of the time, like, maybe, is CeeLo performing? You know, like, is he at Planet Hollywood?
Is CeeLo performing?
I mean, seriously, like, what are we doing the rest of the time in Vegas?
I just saw that Adele's going to have a residency at some point in Vegas.
I would see Adele.
I'd also go to a blackjack table, though, for hours at a time.
Yeah, you got
to
help me a little bit there. Get me
happy
where I need
to be.
PFF just tweeted this. Redraft the 2019 wide receiver class. This is based on last night, I think. But they have McLaurin, DK Metcalf, played on Monday Night Football. A.J. Brown of the Titans, who's great but never healthy this year. Deontay Johnson of the Steelers, I think he's one of the most underrated players in the league, like fringe superstar. Deebo Samuel, who already is a star. And then Hollywood Brown, who's a deep threat for the Ravens, who, when he can link up with Lamar Jackson, seems to get behind everyone, and he's kind of like the next DeSean Jackson.
How about that receiver class, by the way? Damn.
Sensational.
Pretty good.
Of those guys, I'm going to give you my order of operations. Well, let me ask this. Is this just based on this second right now, or is this if everyone's healthy, start of next year, you get to have them all on an equal contract? Like, how do you want to do it?
It's like that Madden created team mode.
Yeah.
Right? And you just get to draft them on your team.
Okay.
Contracts be damned.
And now I just have them for the rest of their career.
You just have them.
I'm going to make some people upset.
All right.
Including possibly our beloved Terry. Deebo Samuel won.
One?
Deebo Samuel won. I think he is just a positionless Balrog. What's a Balrog again?
That is a flame demon from the ancient world, a servant of Morgoth.
Yeah, I'll take it.
They're giant and they've got wings.
He's a positionless Balrog.
They have whips of flame. It's not a big deal.
Terry McLaurin, 2.
Mm-hmm.
A.J. Brown, 3. Deontay Johnson, 4. DK Metcalf, 5.
Man.
Hollywood Brown, 6.
I agree with you on Brown, 6. Here's why I don't do Samuel first. When he plays, Deebo Samuel's a bad dude. That guy's been hurt a ton.
So I asked, this is based on full health. Like, we're assuming full health.
Oh, yeah. If you assume full health, that's different.
That was my question. That's why we did that. Go. Let's hear it. Go with your list. I want to hear what you got.
Metcalf won. I think that
DK Metcalf won?
DK Metcalf won.
Hold on. I thought you said DK Metcalf won. That was my fault.
And I will say that very clearly. DK Metcalf won. That is a star.
Darius, I need you. I need you right now. Keep going. I'm going to tag Darius in a second.
I go Metcalf 1. I think I go McLaurin 2. Brown 3. No, I've switched that. Deebo Samuel 3, Brown 4. Brown's always hurt. I'm annoyed by him. Deontay Johnson 5, Marquise Brown 6.
Hold on. Who am I? I'm going to do an impression.
Mm-hmm. Hey, wake up. Who are you being?
I'm Danny Rouillet.
Danny, why do you sleep so soundly?
Oh, it's because I'm sleeping on Deebo Samuel. That's what I'm doing. I'm sleeping on AJ Brown too a little bit. All right, I liked your list. Other than that, my guy, just no respect for Deebo Samuel.
I respect Deebo Samuel.
Darius, redraft the 2019 wide receiver class: McLaurin, Metcalf, AJ Brown, Deontay Johnson, Deebo Samuel, Hollywood Brown. Go.
As you know, I am an AJ Brown mark.
Mark.
I am a mark. I think he is. You're a Andre Johnson reincarnated.
Are you a Schlereth or a Sanchez?
I'm a definitely a Schlereth.
Okay.
Yeah.
You love to run the ball.
He's a marker.
Yeah,
mark.
I don't like the butt fumble. So yeah, I would go AJ Brown 1.
That's rich.
Terry McLaurin 2. Deebo Samuel 3. Then DK Metcalf 4. Hollywood Brown comes in 5. Anybody else doesn't matter.
Deontay Johnson?
Yeah.
He doesn't do it for you? He dropped a lot of balls and everyone thinks he stinks, but that guy's nasty.
Hibernation
mode.
He's solid, but I'd take Metcalf over him. I'd take Hollywood Brown over him.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think Danny's DK Metcalf 1 is the hottest take so far.
Yeah, I'm
not at all. That's a 1,300-yard, 10-touchdown guy.
He's a beast.
I mean, Deebo Samuel's working on that second 1,000-yard season. Maybe he gets there. I mean, he's a running back that does a lot of cool things.
He's multiple positions. Combine both positions, I guarantee he's got the numbers.
No, I mean, last year was his only 1,000-yard total season.
He's been hurt.
Yeah, I know. And that's kind of why I knock him down a little bit.
All right. Ryan.
All right. So I'd go A.J. Brown first as well. I do
the
believe.
Producer room is high on A.J. Brown.
I love it. He bothers me so much because he's on my fantasy team and he's ruining everything this year.
Yeah. Personal.
Which is why I'm very negative against
personal
him.
Personal vendetta.
It's very personal.
Exactly. Then second, I would go Terry over DK. And then.
Is it because you guys are boys?
That a little bit too.
You're friends.
No, exactly. We are friends. But
did you go to the Wizards game with him last week? I saw I was at the Wizards game.
I can't confirm or deny. So right. we'll just leave it there. But third, I'm going to go Deontay Johnson, actually. I'm very high on him. I think he is a
I appreciate
stud,
that.
A stud.
Baller.
And honestly, like, he'll probably be the cream of the crop of that class once they get a real QB.
That's aggressive, but all
right. Exactly. I'm going that way. Four, I'm going to go DK. And then five, Hollywood Brown. I'm leaving someone off here, too. I left off Deebo.
Yeah. He's 6?
No, I wouldn't put him 6. Dang it.
Good job.
See? Yeah, I know.
I do love that you went last. You had plenty of time to like write it down, right? And he's still
not for me.
Well, actually, if I'm being honest, I literally have it up on my computer right now. So I even had the visuals, and I just forgot Deebo. Deebo somewhere, he's probably 4. And then I put DK after.
My guy. All right, let's go to the phones, wind things down here. Don't forget about coming up in just a moment, some things from the game that you shouldn't sleep on. Let's go to Chin and Potomac on Grant and Danny. Hey, Chin.
Hey, Grant. Two things. One about rookie quarterbacks and you, and two, tips for Vegas. For Vegas, I've actually been there 3 times, believe it or not, in the last month because I liked it so much. I went with my wife, and then my wife and I liked it so much, we went with our kids. And it's not for what you think it is. It's not for the casinos. So two things about Vegas. One, you have some of the best restaurants in the world are actually very cheap, off-strip. Off-strip, that's the key. Because you have a lot of great chefs who went there to work at the casinos, hated it, then started their own restaurants off the strip, and they are awesome. So you can find a bunch of them on Google. Find anyone that's rated 4.7 or higher off the strip, and you won't believe how good it is for the price, whatever you like.
All right.
The other thing, too, go to some of the national parks there. Go to the Grand Canyon. Go to, I don't know if you're into that kind of thing. Go to Zion National Park, 2.5 hours drive. You will see things you've never seen in your life.
So if I didn't have to drive a couple hours, I would do that. I doubt I'm even going to rent a car or whatever, but I'm not big on breathing heavily and walking around a lot, I'll say. I would much prefer to just sit in a sports book. But I kind of kid, but I would love to see those sites. I just need
if
someone,
I was there for a week, I would do that.
I just need, like, my guy Bezos or Elon Musk to, like, build
Chopper
something
that
allows me to, like, go on a little train under, like, a metro underground to the canyon. I would definitely do that.
A 72-hour situation, 12 of which are flapping their gums with me, you know, it's, like, probably hard to start getting away to national parks.
True. Bobby Warsaw, you're on G&D. What's up, buddy?
Hey, man. My comment is for last night was that Russell Wilson at times couldn't hit a bull in the butt with a spade.
Yep.
And they had some open receivers.
What is that?
It's a great turn of phrase.
With a spade? What does that mean?
Like a little shovel, a little trowel.
That means a shovel, for instance. He couldn't hit a bull. It was standing right there.
My grandpa used to say that.
That's a 10.
And we blew some coverages, and they had some people open, and we got to run some. And our secondary wasn't, if it had been Russell Wilson of old, we'd been in some awful trouble, I'm afraid.
That's the second time in like a week that Bobby's called in with a great phrase like that.
Yeah. What was his other one?
I don't remember. I just remember the same thing happening where I laughed and asked him the origin of whatever he had just said. So keep doing that. It makes my day better. Go to David in Ashburn, Washington, 17-15 winner. Squeak out the dub. What's up, David?
Hey, guys. Love the show. What's going on?
Not much, bro. How are you?
I'm doing great. So what we're forgetting that we are the heartbreakers. The last two games, nobody wanted us to win. Yesterday was Wilson's birthday. Last week was homecoming for Cam Newton, and we spoiled the party, so I don't think anybody enjoyed that except for us Washington football fans.
Well, that's all we care about here in D.C.
That's right, man.
Was it Russell Wilson's birthday? I didn't know that.
It was, yeah. They mentioned it a lot.
Did they really?
Yeah.
That's one of those things they're going to over-talk about.
Uh-huh.
But he's so right. The week before that was the Cam Newton show. Now it's Russell Wilson's birthday. Was the coverage completely slanted towards Seattle pregame and only Seattle or not really?
No. I think it was... closer down the middle.
Because they're bad enough that it shouldn't have happened that way. But in a normal year, they're playoff
It would have been
team.
Russell Wilson. Yeah. Also Russell Wilson. And Pete Carroll, but Russell Wilson.
Final thought from me, Antonio Gibson was a machine. 29 carries and 7 catches, 111 rushing, and another 35 receiving. Loved what I got from him.
Their fourth center. Offensive line turnover. Keith Ishmael steps in. They don't miss a beat. Amazing.
Jack Del Rio's defense. 4 straight games under 300 yards. 2-point winners. The football team. Speaking of 2 points, hopefully the Caps
here we go
can get 2 points tonight. They just ripped off a couple huge wins in the Eastern Conference. Got another chance to do it this evening in Florida. You'll hear from Terry McLaurin next. If you missed him earlier today on Grant and Danny, make sure you're locked in just a moment right here on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.